Good morning. It's great to be back here, and you have great pastors with David and Kathy. And go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. It's neat to be in a place where God is allowed to be God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is allowed to do what He wants to do.
Amen.
When the Lord had spoke to me on the way up, He told me, "You're going to minister tomorrow," but He didn't tell me what I was going to minister on. And
that's really hot.
Yeah, it is very hot. And the neat thing about this is David never really shared with me what was going on, what he was going to minister on. And this morning we sat in his office and he said, "So what did the Lord tell you?" And I told him, and he said, "That's God for what's going on with you people. I just want to share with you something. The Lord is setting you up into a place that very few people will get to go." And I have to be careful on what I say, because God is a God who likes to draw. And sometimes if you tell people foreknowledge of things, they can get in the way of what He wants to do. And you don't learn then. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God works in us. He knows us.
Yes.
And He wants to heal us. He wants to change us. He wants to equip us. But before you equip someone, they must be educated. They have to be sometimes healed or corrected or make a little slight change. And here's what happens sometimes. When God starts to correct or change, it doesn't feel good. And we tend to run. And we actually stop the work of God. And you know what I found out? You can't outrun God. You may be able to leave a church and run here, run there, but eventually He's going to deal with you because He's the great healer and He wants to heal you. And some of the things I'm going to share today, I'm going to tell you right off the get-go, they're going to be tough. They're going to be like, "Ouch, I didn't want to go there." But God wants to take you there.
Amen.
So He can then heal you. Some of you are going to be equipped with some things. Some things that have been dormant are going to rise up.
Amen.
Some things that have been you've been hanging on to, He's going to take away. And some things you didn't even know that were there or dormant are going to take off. And then He's going to plant some things into you. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 10. He talks about children. Boy, I am really hot up here with the mic. I like to hear myself, but not that much. It's okay, though. You know what I mean? It just seems like the monitor. Don't I seem like I'm really like in a well, kind of?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're all right. You're doing a great job back there.
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. He talks about children obeying their parents, and there's a promise with that. Then he talks about bond servants and obeying their masters. And then he gets into something that, this is Paul speaking to the church of Philippi, to believers, and he switches gears kind of. And he says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He goes from obedience to kids, obedience to servants, but then he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." Sometimes we don't know about the power of His might, and so therefore, what happens, I'm going to share with you, is we disconnect from God, of the real workings of the kingdom of God. And what the Lord wanted me to share with you is, when you got born again, He lives inside of you. And the kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor is it here or there. But the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things.
Amen.
God already has a ministry for you. You say, "I'm called to the ministry." Yes, maybe not the fivefold ministry, but you're called to the ministry of this town. People are waiting for you on the other side. But before you can get them, you got to get changed. You got to get rightly equipped. So you can therefore be used by the Lord to go and get those who need Him. God saved us for Him. But we get a great benefit out of it because we get Him, we get the Holy Spirit, which is Him, and then we get His Word, and we get equipped, we get the kingdom of God inside of us, and then it starts unlocking as you start knowing Him. The kingdom of God starts rising and moving. So the power of His might, watch this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil, we don't really use that too much, that word. But it literally means this, the cunning arts. It means deceit, crafty, or trickery. The devil will try to trick you into believing things that are not of the Lord. And therefore, how he tricks you is in your soul. Some of us are strong. We feel we're strong in our spirit. And the devil will even let you think you are because you quote these scriptures. But you're really weak in your heart. Because the soul and the spirit work together to make the heart work right. And what happens sometimes is we're born again, but our soulish realm is out of whack.
Right.
It's not your intellect. It's your emotions.
Right.
Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the soul makeup. And sometimes we have these outbursts of anger that have stopped the kingdom of God of working. For the kingdom of God, listen now, it's what?
Righteousness,
peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now you take the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. When you are messed up in your soulish realm, listen to me, when I say messed up, come on, we lived in this world a long time before we got saved, and we know how to track in this world, and sometimes we bring it over into the kingdom realm, and it doesn't work. And what we do is we actually unplug from God on letting the kingdom of God come out in full force like He wants to come out, strong in the Lord and the power of His. But we can't let the might come out because our soulish realm, what's coming out is anger, poverty thinking.
Right.
Come on.
Yep.
Sorrow.
Yep.
My grandmother died over 20-something years, and if I continue to carry that sorrow right now, I'm not walking in the joy of the Lord or the peace of God. How can the kingdom work? Because all people see is a sorrowful person that goes to a great church with a great pastor, but he's no better than me. Why do I want that? How can they taste and see that the Lord is good and blesses the man who puts his trust in Him? Because his trust isn't in the Lord. The trust is in the sorrow. Let me go over here. Am I right? Or the anger, the outburst of anger. Uncontrollable emotions of crying at any little thing that someone says to us that hurts our feelings. God wants to heal the soul today. We've done a lot of healing in the flesh. Some of us are strong as can be, but weak in our soul. Come on, you know it's true. And we make excuses saying, that's just me, or that's the Irishman in me, or the Italian woman in me. No, that's called the sin in us. The broken down, sinful soul that needs to be, listen to me, breathed on by God the right way. I'm not talking about we'll go a different direction. Never mind. Okay, here we go. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand or stand against, not withstand, but stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at it says the devil.
Yeah.
Suggestions come from the devil. Thoughts, ideas, suggestions. They can either come from your flesh or the enemy. Most of the time it's the enemy. What did he say to Eve? Was that a thought? Was that an idea? Was that a suggestion? Hey, if you eat this fruit, you'll be just like God. That thing was, she was just like God. We're just like God now, but when fear comes along and speaks to us, we go with the fear. Why do we do that? Because our soul is weak in that area. And we haven't learned how to stand in the power of His might. Now watch this. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When you start getting in arguments, is everybody married here? There's arguments sometimes. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Somebody's been speaking to somebody.
Right.
And it's probably not you. And these ideas come in and then arguments come out. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers and darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He says it twice. Take up the whole armor of God.
Now watch this. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Everybody say evil day.
Evil.
Not evil days. When we pastored, we had this woman said, the devil's constantly on me. I said, he can't be. You're not bigger than Jesus, and he didn't go on Jesus every single day. It's an evil day that he comes to get you. He comes to test you.
Right.
An evil day, not evil days. We live in evil days because people do evil things. They're not all saved. But
right.
Sometimes we've magnified the devil more than we have looking at what's really going on in our life. I know a guy who's a Rhema grad, and he told me he can quote over 100 and something scriptures, almost 200 scriptures. But do you know that he talked more about the devil and the devil getting on him when he had so many soulish problems? He don't even work to this day. His wife works. The Bible tells me that's not a good thing for a husband not to work, a man not to work, because he shouldn't eat. He makes his wife go out and work. And he thinks he's got the kingdom of God working in him because he can quote 100 and something verses. That's not God. It's an evil day. Watch this now. We're going to get into this. It's an evil day. Watch. An evil day. Having done all, stand. So when he comes, having done all, you stand. It's a day. He may come. Watch this. In the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon, he's going to try to whittle you down. He doesn't stay with you all the time. He's not omnipresent. He's not going to be on you all day long. It's moments in the day. And I'm going to show you how this works so you can combat this and get a sound spirit, a sound soul. Get healed. You will get, listen, you will heal. You will let the process of the healing power of God heal you right where you're at. Stand therefore, having girding your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And here's what I want to talk about today. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet of salvation. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5. The helmet of salvation is this. The word sozo, salvation, sozo, means this. Health, healing, completeness, wholeness, prosperity. John caught this in 1 John. Beloved, above all things, I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Prosperity is a growth. It is obtaining more and more and more of what God has for you. When a person does not understand the helmet of salvation, they can never get the kingdom of God to work within them to the full measure that God wants. I'm just being honest with you. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ that say, I know God, but yet they're out of control in their soul area. They can't control their anger. They can't control their sorrow. They can't control their tears. Somebody says something to them, they break down. And they stop the work of God working in their life. And so it's called sozo, means whole, completeness, health. God wants to heal your soul, make you completely whole. But if we constantly keep, and if we constantly keep making excuses and blaming it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil, well, it could be the devil if it's on a certain day. Has anybody ever been attacked on a certain day throughout the day? You get attacked. But not all the time. If this constantly comes up, chances are you have a weakness in your soul that needs to be healed, that needs to be changed. But we haven't been taught this a lot. We've never really been taught about the soul. We've never been really taught about how God wants to get in there and minister to us and change us. Look at verse of 1 Peter 5. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to show you something. Jesus talks to about shepherds and how to be overseers of the flock. He talks to the young people how they should submit to their elders. And then he talks about in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. See, when you get these cares, listen to me now, worry, anger, crying uncontrollably, your feelings get hurt, poverty mentality. What's a poverty mentality? Well, I'll show you what a poverty mentality really is. It's when you can afford the best, but you don't buy the best. When God's moving on you to buy the best, you can afford it. It's when you take
the last bit of your ketchup and you put water in it to make it go a little longer. Toss that thing. That's poverty. It's done. It's over. Don't add water. You follow what I'm saying? But you, and it's waste. It's wasteful. Everything is a waste. You're always, this is a waste, that's a waste, this is a waste. You need to be delivered in your soul. Because not everything is a waste. Some things you need to get rid of. One of them is the ketchup that has that crusty thing on top after about, you know, throw that away. You keep cleaning it off and using it. Ugh, throw it away. Or at least wipe it off and then put it back in the refrigerator, make it last. But look at this. Be sober. Verse number 8. Be sober. The word sober there means this. It means to be calm, collected in spirit. Be sober, not to be intoxicated. With what? The cares. Be sober, be vigilant. That means watch, wait, giving attention to. Now watch this. For he cares for you. Watch this, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can only devour those who have an undisciplined mind. Their soul realm is completely out of control. He can then come and attack you. Because you have an undisciplined mind. You're not sober. You're not vigilant. You're not watching the things that come into your mind to stop them. You're not realizing this is sin and we're going to deal with it. You're saying, no, this is my Irish. No, this is okay. My kids think I'm a crazy lunatic, but it's okay. God knows this. No, God wants to change that. Does everybody understand that? He wants to work on that, but we kept making excuses of it. Therefore, our soul isn't prospering. We're not moving. God could never get you to the place where he wants you to be because you keep staying back. And you know what I love about this? The Lord just spoke something in my heart. It's you quiet ones that don't show any emotion that boil on the inside and want to blow up. You think you're so cool because you go, I got my emotions under control. God says, no, you don't. Eventually, you will blow. And listen to me, and listen to me good. Most of those people have stress problems. They either do one of two things. They overindulge in one area or not. Either workaholics, eat-aholics, drink-aholics, any kind of aholics. They're over and over and over trying to get rid of that. And the whole time, God's saying, that is sin. I want to deal with that. But we say, I got it under control. I'm not blowing up. I want to blow their head off, but I'm not blowing up. Therefore, I am mature. And God says, no, you're very immature. I can't move. The kingdom of God can't come. Because when it wants to come, you push it down. Because your soul is jacked up. It's sin. And we never call that. You know, we call it issues. How many have heard issues? Jesus never used the word issues. It's called sin. It causes you to miss the mark that God has for you. And until you see it's sin, you won't stop doing it because you don't have the fear of God in your life. Because if you get the fear of God in your life, you'll get rid of it. Because you understand he has something better for you. Right. Love wants to give. But I can't give something to you if you're constantly throwing it back at me. Right? I give it to you, throw it back. Give it to you, throw it back. Give it to you, throw it back. But once you get healed, then you go, thank you, and you take it. God wants to get you to a place where you can go, thank you, I'll take it. It's that easy. It's him. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But you know what we do? It's our might. I'm going to conquer this thing. You know? Being negative. I'm a negative person, but I'm going to conquer this negative. For 20-something years you've been negative. Why not let Jesus heal you? Why don't you just call it what it is? I'm a negative person. That's a sign of inner defeat. And Jesus, I need you to heal my soul in that area because I've got some sin, not issues, sin that have caused me to be negative. I'm angry not because I'm Mexican-American. I'm angry because people have hurt me and I took upon that hurt. But God healed me when I started to see I needed to make a change. I needed to confess to him and cast my cares upon him because he cares for me. I realized Jesus isn't like that. And the next thing you know, he started elevating me in the kingdom. And the kingdom started coming out. And guess what people started doing? My wife, who I've separated for 10 years when I saw her, my heart was so broken for God. I had these tears coming down. She goes, something happened to you. You're changed. At first, she thought I was changed so I would get her back and kill her. Because the last time she saw me, I said, I'm going to kill you. I had anger issues. But guess what God used? My testimony to lead many to Christ. I didn't do it. My soul was changed. The kingdom of God started coming out. And people started getting saved like popcorn. Because they could see, boy, I knew you before. My dad said, hey, Lenny, you went from the devil to an angel like this. What happened? Oh, I opened up and been able to share. He's saved today. See, we think that we got saved for us. We got saved for him and for those that are waiting on outside that need us. There's people that are on their knees getting ready to commit suicide in this town. And some may be sitting here right now that's entertained suicide. You can all look at me with all that great thing. But their thoughts come. And let me tell you something. God says, I want to heal you today of that. And here these people are crying out to God. And they're going, God, where are you? God, where are you? And God's saying, I'm right here. I got people sitting at Christian Life Center. I'm going to send them right your way. But we got to get healed in our soul. So we can hear God speak in our heart. So we can then be used by God to then go up to them. And God says this. I'm not saying anybody here. Here's somebody here. Out in the street, and God says, go over and tell them that they don't have to take their life. I've heard their prayer, and I'm here. And you say that, and the person weeps and says, who told you that? Or if God takes you all the way to Jacksonville, Florida for a meeting, and you get there, and the guy who's checking you in, the midnight audit guy, at 11:30 at night, we're tired from flying all night long. My wife and I get up there, and the Lord says, say this, this, and this to this man. And I said, that, and Jesus told me to say that. And he goes, how could you know that about me? I said, because God loves you, and he's pursuing you, and he wants you. He goes, you're the second person that's done this. This is crazy. I said, no, it's not. It's God. He's after and pursuing you because he doesn't want to see you destroy your life in hell and ruin yourself. And I said, plus, you've been going to school for this, this, and this. And God said, he will bless you, and he will do this, this, and this if you turn to him. He said, how could you know that? I said, God. See, the kingdom of God is within you, wanting to come out. It wasn't because of the fivefold ministry. I didn't even feel anything like a pastor or anything like that. If you want to know the truth, I want to get my key and go sleep. But the kingdom of God, the love of God was constraining me to share. Now, look at this. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, rolls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what the devil does on a set day. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to forget about the devil now. The devil isn't omnipresent. He doesn't know everything about you, but he knows what you are good at falling to. And he comes by to look and see if you have an undisciplined mind that day, and it'll cause havoc to work havoc in your life for that day. And some of us will pretend like we don't even know the Lord because we'll get all crazy and do all kinds of stuff. And then we feel bad and then guilt and condemnation come on us and we withdraw from the kingdom working in us. And we forget that God loves us because we lost this love and feeling. I lost that love and feeling. But it's not a love and feeling. What happened is we let our flesh take control rather than us taking control of our flesh and standing in the Lord and the power of his might. Say, wait a minute, I may have missed it. Lord, forgive me, I've sinned. But if you keep doing that sin over and over, you need to be healed. And you say, God, that's it. My anger is out of control. I cannot do this anymore. I cannot stand in the power of your might. I cannot withstand this. I know you can do it. You need to heal me. Jesus said, thank you. I've been waiting to do that. And he steps in and starts working on you. Some of us get an instant miracle. I thank that. I thank God for that. Most of the time, it's an unwinding. Because God said in 1 John, that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the enemy. That means to untie the works. And we need to be untied where? In our soul. We're not bound in our flesh. Our soul. Our thinking. Our stinky thinking. And the way we look at things. Our judgmental attitudes. We tell ourselves we're worthless. Why? Because your dad or your mom or your teacher said you weren't going to amount to something. Folks, can I tell you something? There's some people sitting here that their second grade teacher said something about them and they still can't get over it today and they're in their 40s. They're in their 50s. They're in their 60s. They still can't get over it and they say things out of their mouth. And God wants to heal. God wants to change. Go to Romans chapter 12. Am I all right, Pastor? And time? Okay. Look at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, that means separated for God's service.
holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But watch this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That psyche, mind, soul. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You must be in the gap. But if you don't renew your mind, you can never be in the gap. You can never be in the gap. Go to Luke chapter 12. Be not conformed. In other words, don't hook up to the fashions of the world, but be transformed, renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember what I said? The kingdom of God is within you, and you must release it, right? But if you don't know what that good, acceptable, perfect will of God is, you can't release it. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So the kingdom of God is inside of you trying to work, but you've got some soulish issues that are overriding that. And it's stopping the kingdom from coming forth. And then we get confused. And we don't know what the will of God is. God hates divorce. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I want to share something with you. God hates when you talk about divorce. You think about divorce. I'm going to leave him. I'm going to leave her. That's in your soul. You need to stop that. Now listen to me. My wife was just talking to somebody in her family. And listen to these people. Been serving the Lord for a lot of years. They think, her mother, thinks that by her getting divorced from her husband is the best thing and it's God's way. She don't have nothing to do. She don't know God at all. God's not in the splitting up and divorcing business. They got three little kids. That's not God. Now, because they haven't seen the repercussions of their sin, and she's having a good time, and she's come back to the Lord, she's come back to church, all these things look great for her. What she doesn't realize is because of the mercy of God, nothing's happened. But can I tell you something? There's going to be happening. Because why? Jesus said this, or it was said in this, Galatians, be not deceived, Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. You sow to the spirit, you reap life. Just because it hasn't happened yet, they think that that's God and everything's going fine. The problem is their soulless realm is completely destroyed and they don't know God, so they can't stand in the gap. Therefore, they can't have the kingdom of God working in them. But they can do a Holy Ghost hop and in church and woo, woo, woo. And you just sit back. Listen to me. You sit back and wait for the aftermath. As pastors, we already know there's going to be destruction. There's going to be a fall. We just need to be there when their kid goes completely off the chain, when the wife goes completely out of control. Because you can't take bad and make it good. It does not work. Does everybody understand that? Take a look at Jacob. He was a deceiver. He had to work for Laban for some extra time, did he not? There was, and all through his life, he had that repercussion right there. Folks, we've got to get our soul completely delivered and changed so we can then know the perfect will of God, stay in the gap, let the kingdom of God come forth and do what God wants us to do. Because it's for our good. Because God doesn't want you to be messed up. He doesn't want me to be messed up. We're only as strong as our weakest link. And I don't get mad. As a pastor, I never got mad at people. You know, they tell me they've been born again for 30 years. I could really care less, honestly. Because there's some people who have been born again for 6 months that are way more mature than the ones that have been 30 years. It doesn't matter longevity. Fruit. But if you keep negating the rotten fruit you have, you're not going to get a better decision. You're not going to get a better change. Your character's not going to work. When you try to hide that you have suicidal tendencies, and you try to hide, and then next thing we know, we find you dead or trying to overdose yourself. That's not good. Does everybody understand that? Or anger, humiliation, and you withdraw. Everybody over at Luke 12? We're out with these ministers in Oklahoma. I'm going to speak to the ones that get embarrassed now. That's not good in your soul. Watch this. We were out to eat in Oklahoma, and we're going to Joe's Crab Shack. The gal gets out of the car. She's a minister with her husband. My wife and I are there. She trips, falls, hits her knee, rips her nylon, and a different side of her came out. My wife and I looked, and I mean, she went embarrassment, kaputs, out of control. Her husband, honey, it's okay. Oh, honey, baby, darling, oh, la, la. And he became like a little Oh, because he had seen her act like this. Oh, I got to get you. Oh, I can't let you get like this. Oh, my goodness, it's not good for you. And I felt like saying, these people are out of control. She's out of control, and he's trying to keep her in control when she should be. He should have stood back and go, honey, let it rip. Now, are you ready to get healed? Let's deal with this, honey. You're 40 years old. You're embarrassed because you fell and tripped? Come on, people. Are you serious? And my wife and I looked at one another and said, oh, some healing needs to happen here. And we prayed for him. Folks, I'm not embarrassed. If I do something that's embarrassed, I hope you would help me. And I'm not going to let myself withdraw and go, oh my goodness, they seen some toilet paper in the back of my shoe. And I can never preach again. Oh my goodness, oh, I'm going to sit by this guy. You look really good today, brother. You know, I'm going to fake all this stuff and deal with this, and I can't hear anything that's being taught from the Word of God. Come on. Embarrassment has no place in a believer. But you have to come to God and say, here's where I am. Heal me. And then when it happens, don't make excuses. It happens in front of your little kids. God, forgive me. Mary Beth, lay hands on Mama. Let's pray. I've got some sin. You come on with, you follow what I'm saying? How are you going to raise up your kids in the affirmation of the Lord if you're making excuses? Right? They all know anyways, there goes Mom, flipped out. There goes Pop, flipped out. Come on, driving our car, losing our salvation. Boy, I'd flip him the bird, but man, a pastor sees it. The Lord sees it. The Lord's right there in the car with you. He's not going, do it, do it. Your flesh is going, do it. Give him the number one sign. And then invite them to church. And on the back it says, honk, if you love Jesus, follow me to a church of love, Christian Life Center. You know it's true, and that's why you're laughing. Isn't that true? Come on, it's true. But here, that's how God works. He loves us, and it's the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. He loves us. He's correcting us in love. Worry. We're going to end on this today. Look at verse number 22. He then said to his disciples in Luke 12, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Everybody look at me. I have a worry gene. Really? What gene is it? Levi's or what? No. I have a worry gene. My mom, we're a history of worriers. My wife used to tell me that. I said, guess what, honey? You've been born again. No more worrying. She got healed. Now listen to me. I'm going to share something with you. I'm not a worrier. But my daughter said something one day that shook me to my heart. She was 14 or 15 years old. And she said this at the dinner table. You know, Dad, I don't think you would cry or get worked up if Mom dropped dead. And these words came out. What good would that do? What good would that do? It wouldn't do any good. She's gone to be with the Lord, and that's the way it is. And the Lord dealt with me and said, you have no compassion. You have taken worry to mean that you don't have compassion, and therefore you don't know me. And I went, oh my goodness. And even my wife, remember that, babe? I said, oh God, I have no compassion. Please heal me. Please change me. And he started to do work in me. Because I took that to mean, when no worry, you don't let anything disrupt you. Folks, then I read, we grieve, but not like those of others. And God started unwinding things in me to where I can be compassionate and compassion so I can be a comfort with those who are in hurt and need. So he's not talking about not being compassionate. Do not worry about your life. What you'll eat, about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. He says, look at the ravens. The ravens were a dirt, unclean bird. And Jesus is going to say, look at the ravens. Which have neither storehouse or barn. God feeds them.
of how much more value are you than the birds. When you start feeling like you're nothing, that you're unworthy. Now I'm going to talk to you unworthy people. God says, consider the birds. I've never seen a stressed out bird at McDonald's. Not one. They're rather bold. They get on your car when you're in it. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm here because the Lord's going to feed me. I say, all right. No, I don't say that. I don't hear the birds talk to me. I'm not a nut. But you know what I'm saying? And then they look for somebody that drops it, and they go get fed. Consider the birds. Why are you so worried about what's in your refrigerator today? That's and a poverty mentality. I had a millionaire before going to our congregation. $30 million. I got to watch my money because I may end up with nothing. I'm like, are you serious? You got $30 million. You got 1 foot in the grave, man. You're almost ready to go. And you're considered you're going to go poor? You follow me? It's truth. You know, we've got to be good stewards with our money. Meanwhile, no, I'm not going to go that. Anyways, I'm saying sometimes we're wasteful. Don't worry about your life. Consider the birds. Next time you start to freak out that your kids don't have school clothes, you don't have enough food, and hang on, don't get worried. Consider the birds. Now look at this. Consider the lilies. Oh, wait, no, let's go 25. And which of you by worrying can add one cubic 18 inch to your stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? And the anxious word means to be suspended between two spheres. To be suspended, anxious. Why are you anxious? 1 minute, God's going to provide. Next minute, I don't know. 1 minute, God's going to provide. Oh, I don't know. And look, if we are in doubt, we're wavering, and that man should expect nothing from God. So our soul needs to get anchored in the Word. Verse 27, consider the lilies. There again, the word consider. It means to look upon with an intent to find something. How many women ever lost their mascara in their purse? They're content on looking, considering it. They're finding it, right? You're digging for it. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? How much more, oh, you of little faith, you of little persuasion, you of little conviction, you of little belief. He's talking to people that's following him. Well, I just don't know. My husband can pass and, well, you know, I only got 20,000 to bury him and, oh, my goodness, I hope he doesn't die. You know what, folks? We're probably going to die if Jesus doesn't come back. Right. I mean, we should plan. But all you have is 20. Don't worry about it. Start praying. Lord, help me. When this time comes, help me. 29. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. There's that word anxious mind now. Suspended. Up and down. 1 minute, God's going to change. Help me. Next minute, I don't know. God's going to do. I don't know. God's going to do. I don't know. But see, here's what we hear from Christians. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I don't know if he will do it. We don't tell everybody that because we're word people. Folks, you can confess something. If you don't believe it, it doesn't work. It will not work. You cannot say one thing and believe another. But you can have him heal you by saying, God, I am in doubt. Sin, I need you to heal me. And guess what? He will do it. But we play this thing that we never let God in and do his work. He's the great physician. He wants to change us and heal us. Look at verse number 30. Remember, not having an anxious mind, our soul suspended. For all these things the nation of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. God knows you need this. He knows. But seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things. Verse number 31. And all these things shall be added onto you. Clothing, food, all that provision will be added onto you. He adds it. Now look at the next thing. Do not fear. We're talking about fear here. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give it to you. Fear not. Because you know what worry is? It's fear. Proverbs 12:25. Most people that have anxiety, migraine headaches, stress that causes bumps to come out is anxiety, fear. It says this, fear in the heart of man brings depression, but a good word delivers them. Makes them glad, exactly. Now listen, migraine headaches, you know why they come? From constantly thinking on the wrong thing until it affects your mind so much. That's why they have no cure for it. Because it's a thought process. Because the fear has become now a part of you. And when it happens, you can't even stop it. It just continually comes. And you'll hear people say, my migraine just came on. Listen to me now. We had a gal that was in our church in Idaho. She had migraines so bad she could not walk. She would get dizzy. She had fear. Listen to me now. Fear that would come on her and paralyze her, that her kids wouldn't have anything, that they wouldn't be able to make it. Her husband would lose his job. That she would lose her job. The economy would change. All these fears that would happen. Now listen to me. She had a poverty mentality. But guess what she would do? She never tithed. We never got on her about that. Never give offerings. She would get her nails done every month. Because that was a priority to her. But the fear and the stress started to come on her so much, she would get migraines. And I pray for, Pastor, you pray for me. And one day the Lord spoke up in my heart and said, the only way she's going to get free is Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart brings depression, but a good word makes it glad. If she will stay on my word, she'll get herself healed. So I shared it with her. It took a little time to combat. She had to be real. I said, whatever you're fearful of, write it down. Write it down and deal with it. The stress that makes you stress and get flexed out, pressed out, change, write that down, and then combat it with what God says, I'll meet your needs, how God will take care of you. Read that verse. Look at how he'll take care of you. And guess what? She got herself free by the word of God. Has no more migraines. No more. And she's not even a tither. You don't have to tithe. You know what I'm saying? But do you follow what I'm saying to you? God loves us. The same with James 1. We're going to end. James 1. Let's not make excuses anymore. God wants to heal you. God wants to change you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. Verse number 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness. Do you know that words, listen to me now, of fear, anxiety, you won't amount to anything, self-esteem, that's all filthiness. It does not clean you, it makes you dirty. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't make you whole when you don't think you'll amount to anything, I may not do anything, oh, I get angry, that's filthiness. That's wrong. It doesn't make your mind clean, it makes your mind dirty. Now watch what it says. Therefore lay aside. Who's supposed to lay aside this? We are, but we keep, watch this. We're to lay aside this. Watch this. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. It's wicked because you act out what you've been thinking on. That's wickedness. That's not working righteousness. And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your what? Souls. You can get saved by the word of God. Saved means sozo, made whole, made healthy. Is there anyone today that would say, hey, Len, I got some filthy things in my life and I see it. Is there anybody here that would say that? Yeah, in your heart. Yeah, he can do this. But be a doer of the word, not a hearer, only deceiving yourselves. Meaning this, you can't walk around with filthiness and doing wickedness and deceiving yourself that you're really walking with a saved soul. It doesn't work that way. You deceived yourself. Deceiving your own selves. Folks, it's time for us to stop. There's too many people that God wants to use us in. First off, he wants to make you whole.
He wants to change you, and he loves you. But you're the only one that stops him from working. Do you understand that? You're the only one that can prevent forest fires in your own life. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, it all starts right between these two ears. But we haven't been taught this. We've been taught, and there's nothing wrong with casting it down, but you've got to take the word and plant it in you. You've got to say, God, hey, this is sin. I've got to deal with this thing. Now look at the next verse. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Was. Start off as a man of God, a woman of God, but now he doesn't even know. And that's why you can't stand in the gap anymore. You don't know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I don't know if I should take that job. It looks good, a lot of money, and then there's no peace, and God's saying, don't take it, but you say, no, there's a lot of money, I'm going to go. And then all of a sudden, your life's in havoc. It's in a mess. And the whole time, God was trying to speak to you, but the soul area wasn't dealt with because you had greed. Folks, I had to deal with this stuff. God started dealing with me. Len, take a look. Your soul is not whole. Therefore, I cannot prosper you. Is everybody here born again? Everyone saved, know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Very good. How many today would say, I see, I have sin in my life, in areas of my soul, I need to be healed. Is there anybody here that, all right, praise God, look what God wants to do for you. Let me show you how easy it's to get free. Come up here, Pastor. This is God. Here's God, the Word. Jesus, I'm angry. You've seen it. I've deceived myself. My life is a mess. My wife is a mess. I'm a mess. Will you please heal me? So now I'm walking with Jesus, the Father, and you just got me upset. Something that set off my anger. Now watch this. I'm getting ready to blow up. I'm not going to do that. Jesus, remember, you said you'd be with me.
Yep.
Yes, thank you.
You're not going to do it.
Okay. Have a great day today.
You love. Love. Have compassion.
I'm yoked up.
Yeah.
Now the kingdom of God start working. What's happening now? Now Jesus is out front. I'm still yoked up to him and now telling me my vision. Where am I supposed to go, Jesus? Yeah. What are we going to do today, Holy Spirit?
I have good things for you.
Thank you. No, thanks. And now I can be used by the kingdom of God. But I sinned again. I got mad at my wife. Jesus, forgive me.
You're forgiven.
Thank you. And then after a while, I'll come to him and say, grow up. You know, right? Thank you. God bless you.